Genesis chapter 27, okay? Genesis chapter 27, you can find it on your Bible app or in your Bible or on the screen behind me, and let's look at these scriptures. Genesis chapter 27, verse number 41. From that time on, Esau hated Jacob because their father had given Jacob the blessing, and Esau began to scheme. I will soon be mourning my father's death, and then I will kill my brother Jacob. But Rebekah heard about Esau's plans, and so she sent for Jacob, and she told him, she said, listen, Esau is consoling himself by plotting to kill you. So listen carefully, my son. Get ready and flee to my brother Laban in Haran and stay with him there until your brother cools off. We've been talking about this series, okay, all in. God's looking for a man or a woman that's all in. I think the biggest problem with the church of the 21st century is people are just not all in, okay? We're in a little bit, but we're really not all in. But God seeks for a man or a woman who is all in. God is seeking for a man or a woman who is willing to do his will. He seeks for a mother or a father, a son or a daughter that is all in and fully committed unto him so they can lead their family and then lead the next generation. God is looking for a man or a woman, a boy or a girl who is all in and ultimately to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. I pray this, that I can be, that I will be all in. And I want to encourage you to be all in, because sometimes the most likely people don't succeed. Sometimes, like Jesus said, the last becomes first and the first becomes last. That happens many times. God is looking for a man or a woman that is all in. God rejects those who care only for themselves. He rejected Esau because all Esau cared about was his own thing and his own lifestyle. God rejects the person that does nothing and sits and complains all the time. He rejects the troublemaker, the fault finder, the gossip, the vengeful. God is looking for a man or a woman that is all in today. He seeks for someone. God is looking today for a crazy dreamer. God is looking today for an inventive visionary who loves God with all their heart and is fully committed to Jesus Christ. God is looking for a person that is all in to go and tell other people and share with the broken and share with the wounded today all around the world and all around America and all around the city of Columbia or this entire region that we live in. God is looking for someone that is faithful, who is all in. And here's what I've noticed about God. God uses some of the most unlikely people. God doesn't use the greatest speaker, okay? God doesn't use necessarily the person that's got the most talent or the most ability. God doesn't use someone that maybe is the best looking person or the greatest stature, but God sees the heart of men and women, and God knows who is all in, and God knows who he can trust with the to carry the gospel. God knows who he can trust, and God knows who is all in, and God is seeking for that person today. He's looking today. The very first point I want to talk to you about today is this, that every dream has a price. I know there's a lot of you today that's got a dream. You've got a vision of what you think your future is going to be, but I'll tell you today from experience that every single dream has a price. Jacob forsook everything because he wanted the birthright. You say, what is the birthright? Well, the birthright is to do the will of God and to carry Jesus Christ to the world that we live in. That is the birthright. That is the main objective, to go and to spread the gospel and to make disciples of men. Jacob gave everything to do the will of the Father. He gave everything. He was willing to pay the price for his dream. Esau, his brother, loved to hunt. He loved to travel in the outdoors. He enjoyed venturing far from home. But Jacob was a fellow, the Bible says this, Jacob enjoyed staying home. We got any homebodies here? Okay, we got anyone here that just soon chill out at home, okay, with a good book or something like that, or sit around with your family? You see, Jacob was that kind of person. He loved being at home. He loved listening to stories about his heritage. He loved listening to stories about his grandfather, Abraham. He loved listening to stories that talked about his father's and grandfather's legacy and their authority and dreaming and thinking about the future. He loved being with his family. But Jacob realized that he would have to pay an awesome price for his dream. He set his sights on the birthright, and he got exactly what he hoped for. Make a note of this. You better be careful what you pray for. You better be careful when you're praying and you're seeking God and what you're asking for. Because God is more than likely, if you're persistent enough, to give it to you. And God gave Jacob the birthright, and I think that he didn't fully understand what the price he would have to pay for that birthright. But after he got it, his brother became very jealous and decided that he was going to kill him. He didn't understand the price of the birthright. But I want to tell you today that doing the will of God will cost you everything. He loved his home. He loved his heritage. He loved his family more than anything. But retaining the birthright required Jacob to leave what he loved the most and to go and do the will of God. Here's what the birthright will do, okay? Here's what doing the will of God will do. It'll shape your whole identity. It'll change your identity. You see, Jacob was just a little kid that sat at home with mom. But the birthright changed everything about Jacob, because he would have to leave home and he would have to venture out. The birthright, doing God's will, cost him everything. Retaining the birthright. The birthright in Christ will reshape your will. When Jesus comes in, he'll rock your world. When you get fully committed to the Lord, he'll change everything. Right now, you might have a dream to make $1 million. You say, Pastor Bob, $1 million isn't really much. I got a dream to make $1 billion. I want to turn the whole world upside down. That is my dream. Your dream has got a price. You'll have to pay a price, okay? If your dream is to gain the whole world, you'll probably, if you're married, you'll probably lose your marriage and you'll probably lose your family. You'll probably lose your children. Whatever you dream for is going to come with a cost. And if you have a dream to do the will of God, it will literally cost you everything today. It cost Jacob. Jacob's mother, Rebekah, found out that Esau had vowed to kill Jacob. And so Rebekah told Jacob, she said, listen, your brother is out to get you. I want you to go to Haran or Padan Aram to live with my brother Laban. Now, here's the deal, okay? Haran was 500 miles away from home. That's really not a big deal in 21st century. You know, the other morning, Debbie and I got up at 5:30 in the morning, and we drove to Oklahoma City to pick up a car, 420 miles, and we drove back, and we were home by 8:30 that night. So driving 500 miles is really not a big deal nowadays. We can drive 500 miles in less than 8 hours. We can get on an airplane, and we can travel 500 miles in less than 1 hour on an airplane. But when Jacob was living in his time and in his generation, it would take nearly a month to travel 500 miles. The birthright cost Jacob a 500-mile destination between what he loved most, his family, and doing the will of God. The birthright will cost you everything. The dream, every dream has a price. But here's what Jacob did. He forsook everything to seek after the will of God. He forsook everything for the father's legacy. He forsook everything for the father's authority. He left his mother. He left his father. He left the comfort and security of his family home. Okay? Now, we got a few people in this building that's just been married a year or so, okay? You found out things were a lot different in that previous year, okay? You found out you have bills to pay. You found out it's very expensive. When you get married, it is very expensive to run a household. It is very expensive to make the rent payment every month. It is very expensive to pay for the utilities and buy all the groceries and pay for your insurance. We find out things begin to, we understand and see life a lot differently the older we get. And Jacob, when he left home, he began to see things a lot differently. But he had forsaken all to do the will of God. He forsook everything to guard his birthright. He forsook everything to guard and to carry his family's heritage, his father's legacy, and his father's authority. So every dream comes with a price, or every dream has a price. Secondly, the birthright will cost you everything. Doing God's will, carrying the gospel, will cost you everything. Jesus said, you say, Pastor Bob, that doesn't sound very good to me, but Jesus said this, that if anyone would come after me, let him take up his cross and follow after me. Okay, that's what Jesus said. Now, that doesn't preach very good in 21st century church. We don't, you say, Pastor Bob, you need to tone it down a little bit because we might scare someone off. We don't want to talk about being all in. We don't want to talk about carrying crosses. I'm just telling you what the Bible said, okay? I want to be real. I want to be authentic. I want to be genuine. I'm here to tell you the truth, not to tell you some kind of a lie. But here's what God did. The birthright cost him everything. God led Jacob to a new place. He led Jacob to a place he'd never been before. He led Jacob to meet with people he had never met before and family members that he didn't even know that we have. You know, we often dream, and yet we cannot imagine the price that has to be paid for the dream to become a reality. When Jacob dreamed of the birthright, he had no idea what it would cost him. He had no idea where it would take him. You know, when Debbie and I were in our early 20s, and that was a long time ago, folks. When we were in our early 20s, we had a friend who was a pastor of a church here in Columbia, Missouri, on the north side of town, okay? And this pastor, he'd been there for a couple years, and Debbie and I had gone there, early 20s, young, very young ministers, and we had gone there and we had spoken a few times. We had took care of the guy's church, and he told me, he said, Bob, I went and spoke for him once, maybe we was at a youth rally or something. He said, Bob, he said, I'm getting ready to resign my church. He said, I would like for you to take it over. And I thought, man, Columbia, Missouri, wow, that'd be really awesome. That'd be amazing. But, you know, it looked exciting, but God said, Bob, you're not ready. You're not ready. So God put it in the back of my mind, and God really spoke to my spirit. One day you will go to Columbia, Missouri, and you will be a pastor. But it's just not today. You see, God sometimes speaks something into our heart, and just because God tells you to do something, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be today. But sometimes what happens is we get ahead of God, we get so excited about it, we throw all of our energy into it, and then what we do is we wind up burning ourselves out. Why? Because we're not ready. We're not ready for the dream. We're not ready for that time to be fulfilled in our life. And God said this, he said, just hold on. Just hold on. There's a time that is coming. There's a time that's coming. So years passed. God taught us. God positioned us. Several more years passed. God opened a door. We went into full-time ministry. We were in a comfortable place. We were working in a great church. We were in a relatively large church. Had plenty of money, okay? I was the executive pastor of that church. I was on staff there. And it's just like, man, that's a good place to be, okay? Look at me. I'm an executive. Wow, look at me, man. I put it this way. I got to set the budget for the church, which meant I got to play around with the budget of the church, okay? Didn't mean I had any responsibility that the bills had to be paid. I just got to mess around with it a little bit, okay? Because I got a big title, okay? But I began to sense in my spirit that God was stirring us up. I began to sense in my spirit that God was not going to allow us to stay in that secure place, in that comfortable place. And God began to deal with us. And I told Debbie, Debbie was real comfortable. She's like kids pastor. And she's real comfortable too. And I said, babe, God's getting ready to bring us out of here and take us to a new place. And Debbie said, I don't want to talk about it. But God began to deal with us on a Saturday night, on a Saturday evening. Now, the church I was in, the pastor had a thing for he liked to cut the grass in the church. It just, he was able to pray. He was able to talk to God. And even though they could hire someone to cut the grass, he enjoyed cutting the grass so much and praying and talking to God. And he walked in the back door. He just got done cutting the grass. He said, you know what, Bob, I've been praying about it. I've been thinking about it. He said, let's go to Fulton, Missouri and plant a church. I said, well, here's the deal. I said, I'm not feeling anything for Fulton, Missouri. I know some of you folks are from Fulton. God, we love you. I'm not feeling Fulton. I'm feeling Columbia, but I got to go home and talk to my wife about it. She said, we'll back you guys. We'll support you guys. We'll help you. And so we began to pray about it. We began to talk about it. We began to dream about it. We began to seek the will of God about it. And God began to talk to us about it. Now, here's a good life lesson for you married couples. Okay? Are you ready for this? How many married couples we got here? Got a couple. There's a few married couples. Get on the same page with your husband or wife. The biggest problem, Amos chapter 2, verse 2 says this, that two cannot walk together unless they're in agreement. Get in agreement with your husband or wife. If you got a big idea for ministry, you better get in agreement with your husband and wife. You say, well, I'll go without them. No, go with them. Go with them. Get into agreement. We need to get in agreement, husbands and wife. We need to get in agreement over money, over how we spend, over how we save. We need to get in agreement over spiritual things. We need to get in agreement over church attendance. We need to get in agreements, if you don't have children right now, we need to get in agreement over how many children we are going to have. Are we planning on having? We need to get in agreement. We need to get in agreement about how we're going to parent. We're going to get in agreement how we're going to raise our children. We're going to get in agreement on everything. You ready for this? We're going to get in agreement on our sex life. You say, you can't say that. Yes, I can. I'm married. Okay? I'm a pastor. I'm teaching you. We got to get in agreement. That's why we got so much divorce today, because we can't get in agreement. We don't want to get in agreement. Get into agreement. So we got into agreement. We agreed together on planning this church. And that was the start for this church. We had an idea about ministry. In our mind, we imagined all the steps of how it's all going to come together. And let me tell you from personal experience that when we get the idea of how it's all going to come together, okay, from my experience, just chuck that out the window. Because none of that stuff is going to happen. It ain't going to happen the way you think it's going to. It's not going to happen the way you planned. We had people come to us and tell us, we had these church plant meetings, and people would say, Pastor Bob, we haven't been in church. We're not going to church. We're not attending church. As soon as you start that church, we're going to be there. We're going to be there. We're going to be with you. We're going to be backing you. We're going to be in your amen corner. I'm here to report those people never showed up. Not one time did they ever show up. I got their picture in my, I got their face in my mind right now. I got those words in my memories right now today. You see, we had an idea, but when God stirs you up, when God stirs your heart, and you get to that point and you realize you've got a dream of what God has told you to do, and you understand this, that the dream comes with a price, whatever the dream is. I don't care if it's secular. I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's to make $1 billion, or I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's whatever it is. Every dream comes with a price. And what price are you willing to pay? But if you want to do the will of God, or I'll tell you, whatever dream is, it's going to cost you everything. I used to do financial counseling with people. And I would say, you need to figure out what you want more than anything else and then go for it. if it's to own a home, you can't have everything. You got to figure out the thing you want more than anything. And then pour yourself into it. Give yourself to it. It works the same way with the will of God. It works the same way with the birthright, okay? The dream has a price. And the dream will cost you everything. Doing the will of God will cost you everything. It's not just coming to church on Sunday morning, because this is only the tip of the iceberg of ministry. You're seeing it right now. You're saying it's really cool. We really like it. This is nothing like what ministry is all about. But when God stirs our heart, we got to leave everything. We got to leave what we've known to do the will of God. And that's what happened to Jacob. God stirred Jacob to leave his home. Genesis chapter 28, verse 1 through 4. Okay? It says this. Genesis chapter 28, verse 1 through 4. So Isaac called for Jacob. He blessed him and he said, "You must not marry any of these Canaanite women. Instead, go at once to Padan Aram, to the house of your grandfather Bethuel, and marry one of your uncle Laban's daughters. And may God Almighty bless you and give you many children, and may your descendants multiply and become many nations. May God pass on you and your descendants the blessings he promised to Abraham. And may you own this land where you now are living as a foreigner, for God gave this land to Abraham." Isaac knew, his father knew, that it was time to let Jacob go. You know, as parents, there's a time that we got to just let our children go. We got to trust God that we've taught them. We've got to trust God that we've equipped them. We've got some college students that are here today, and your parents had to trust you to let you go, okay? To let you go. We get to that point with our children when they get married or whatever the case may be, and we just got to let them go and trust God that we've taught them and trust God that we've equipped them. And Isaac got to that point. He realized that it was time to let Jacob go. And so he called Jacob in. He blessed Jacob. This time with a real blessing. He knew he was blessing him. He knew he was truly passing the birthright on to him. And Isaac told Jacob that he must not marry a Canaanite woman. He went on to tell him that. He said, "Your brother Esau has already married two Canaanite women, and those ladies are creating a lot of problems for your mother and I." Because the Bible tells us this in Genesis chapter 26, verse 34. "And at the age of 40, Esau married two Hittite wives, Judith, the daughter of Beri, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon." Verse 35, "And Esau's wives made life miserable for Isaac and Rebekah." You see, Isaac told Jacob to go to Padan Aram. He said, "Marry a woman from your mother's family." He declared God's blessing over his children, over his descendants, and he declared the blessing of Abraham over Jacob. Every dream has a price. I don't know what your dream is today. Your dream has a price. The birthright will cost you everything. Whatever that you're seeking from God. I'm praying that you're all in. I'm praying that you want to do the will of God, because one of these days, I know men that have sought to gain the whole world. And after they went out and they just seemed to do it all and have it all, they woke up one day and said, "This doesn't amount to anything." And they came back to Jesus Christ, you know? Let me encourage you to be all in for Jesus. I'm going to close right there. I've got more stuff, but there's always next week. When you're the lead pastor, there's always next week, okay? There's next week. Got more stuff. I don't want to burn you out. I don't want to put you to sleep today, okay? The dream comes with a price. The birthright will cost you everything. The dream that you've got will cost you everything. And we got to make up our mind, am I going to go for the things of the world? Am I going to go for the allure of the world? Because those things are never going to give you any peace or satisfaction. They're never going to give you any joy. If you want real joy, if you want real peace, I encourage you to be all in for Jesus Christ You say, well, Pastor Bob, I'm still looking. I'm still searching. I'm still wondering. Okay? That's where Satan wants you to be. He wants you to be questioning. He wants you to be doubting. He wants you to be wondering. When Satan came to tempt Eve in the garden, you know what he did? He came with confusion. And we got more confusion in our society today. You know? That is not because we're so wise and intellectual. That is a device and a ploy of Satan. Because he specializes in creating questions and chaos. Okay? So I want to encourage you today to be all in for Jesus, to fully commit to his will and say, Lord, whatever it is. I was talking to someone yesterday as the band's coming. I'm really closing. I'm really shutting this thing down. There was a time in my life, you know, in that period where God was bringing me and God was shaping me, I could tell you within 10 cents of what my net worth was, because it was so important to me. How much money I had in the bank, what my investments were. But I had a brain tumor. I was diagnosed with a brain tumor about 20 years ago, and God rocked my whole world because I literally thought I was going to die on the operating table. And I really felt I was going to heaven, but I thought when I got there that Jesus was going to say, Bob, if you only realized the life you could have had, if you were to just surrender to my will. And James, that was my wake-up call. And when I woke up from that surgery, my wife's standing next to me. She's patting me on the arm. I wake up. I go in for surgery at 7 a.m. I wake up the next day at 1 a.m. in the morning. And she's patting me on the arm. She said, Bob, it's going to be all right. And God spoke this into my spirit. God said this, I'm not finished with you yet. Praise God. You see, all my life, I've been seeking for everything else. I was in my church. I was serving in my church. I was. This is before I went full-time in the ministry. I was serving in my church. I was teaching the highest adult class in my church. I was tithing. I was a musician in my church. I was there every single service. But you know what my problem was? I wasn't all in. I wasn't fully surrendered to the Lord. I had given God a portion. It looked like I was all in, but I really wasn't all in. I pray that God will deal with us and we will be all in, because what really matters is Jesus. What really matters is eternity. This life is a dress rehearsal for all of eternity. So I encourage you this morning to make your dream to win the lost, to make your dream to make a difference for Jesus in the world that you live in. I'm not saying you got to become a pastor. I'm not saying you got to go to Africa and live as a missionary for 10 years, because very few of us are called to have a pulpit ministry or to be missionaries in Africa for 10 years. Now, God allows us. Here's what God does. We're a missionary on our job. We're a missionary in our school. We're a missionary in our neighborhood. Okay? God uses us with our gifts. God uses us with our talents to glorify him. To glorify him. God bless you today. Let's close with, stand with us today. We're going to sing. We're going to praise God. We're going to close the online portion of our service with this prayer this morning. And then we're going to spend a few minutes with the Lord. Let's close with this prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Thank you, God. We love you. We care for you, Lord. We just give you all honor. We give you all praise today. God, let us be like Jacob, who realized that his dream came with a price. He imagined what it would be to have the birthright. And then finally, he received the birthright. And then he realized that birthright was going to cost him everything. To do your will cost us everything. I pray, dear Lord, that we will make you first and foremost in our life. Because so many times it's easy to get wrapped up and entangled with the things of this life and the things of this world, because we've got to live in this world. We've got to have money and finances to just exist. It takes resources to pay the rent and to pay the mortgage payment, to pay the car payment. I understand that. But God, I pray that that would not be our God. The things of this world would not be our God. But Lord, let us surrender to Jesus Christ. Let us surrender to the will of our Father in heaven so we can declare the goodness of Jesus Christ. God, use us to declare your grace and your love and your mercy to a hurting world. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning. Hey, we're going to sing. We're